Okay, we're going to be back in Matthew 6, so if you'll turn there with me, and I promise you we're going to answer the question, why sometimes we don't seem to get the answers that we're wanting in our time with God in prayer. Matthew chapter 6. Okay. Verse number 5. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." So we know God wants to reward our prayers, reward our life according to our prayers. We know that He does. Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And there we see in verse 7 that God identifies for us a tendency that we have. We do have a tendency to pray over and over, repetitive almost, in asking God for things. Verse number 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," which we talked about this morning. Now verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Father, this afternoon we do again pray for your help. Lord, this afternoon we know as we approach your word that you want to have fellowship with us. You want to be close to us. And so I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, apply, learn this truth and apply it. That we would have an intimacy in our prayers and also learn how to have answered prayers. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says some things that makes us think, I think at times, when we don't fully understand the way that God answers prayers, that God will answer all of our prayers all of the time in the way or manner that we pray. Let me read a few verses to you, and you can just make mental notes. If you're taking notes, you can write the reference down and check them out later, okay? But in Proverbs 10:24, the Bible says this: "The desire of the righteous shall be granted." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" So God will give, won't He? Mark chapter 11, verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, that thing, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's quite a promise. John chapter 15, verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him, that He'll give us those things." Matthew 7, 7. I mean, this is maybe all of it wrapped up in one verse. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And we know those verses, or at least we've heard about those verses. And yet we hear those things maybe preached about or maybe in our Bible reading. But then when we pray at times, it feels as though that our prayers aren't getting the kind of answers that the Bible is telling us that we're going to get. I mean, ask and you're going to receive. But wait a second. I mean, I've asked and I didn't receive. I've sought and I didn't find. And I knocked and I didn't have it opened up unto me. So what is going on here? And so we have those things that, you know, we pray for and we don't get the kind of response we expected, possibly because of some of those references that we alluded to a minute ago. I remember years ago when we were here, and Janie Rogers, remember Miss Marilyn, when Janie Rogers was coming? Brother Eric, were you around? Yeah, so Janie had cancer, and she was coming, and her husband Jim was coming, and we prayed, and we prayed that God would heal her of her cancer. And I remember Janie in her wheelchair sitting over here on this side, and sometimes she would sit over here on this side, and Jim would be sitting right next to her, and we prayed for Janie, And I remembered those times that we'd pray. And then I remembered in her hospital room, as I was in the room as she took her last breath, I was there. And I saw her pass on to glory. And God didn't answer that prayer the way that we prayed. I remember Bob Powell, which is my wife's grandpa. And we didn't just pray that he would survive, we prayed that he would get saved. And we prayed for him for our years, didn't we? Well, you prayed for him all your life. And I prayed for him since I knew him, getting married to my wife. And we prayed and prayed. And he died without the Lord. And God didn't answer the prayer the way that we prayed. And sometimes we pray things and we don't get the kind of answer from God that we were expecting. And it makes us discouraged. It causes us to lose the fervor, you know, in our prayers. It's so that we're not praying as much, or we're not praying in faith. Because we're wondering, yeah, you know, I've prayed before and it didn't, you know, so does God doesn't really answer prayers, and then we stop praying altogether, and because, you know, things aren't turning out the way that I expected, and because God didn't answer the prayers that I prayed, and those things make us upset, and those things bring, you know, disappointment, and then lead us away from a prayer life, from faith that God will answer prayers, and then we're not praying at all. Sometimes it's as a result of that, we don't really believe that our prayers will make any difference at all anyway. So why pray? And then we live in our circumstances without prayer. We've maybe looked at those verses back there that we quoted earlier, and we thought maybe God was giving us a blank check and we could just fill in anything we want on that blank check, and God promises to cash in on it, give us our heart's desire no matter what we pray. And because of that, when we didn't receive those things, it directed us away from a closeness with God. However, whenever we understand how God works through our prayer life, and how sometimes God doesn't change our circumstances, but He changes us as a result of our circumstances through prayer. And we understand how God works, then our prayer life will change. Intimacy in prayer is beyond just going to God and saying, God, I love you. And that's important. We talked about that this morning. Going to God and saying, you are my King, and I love you, and I'm thankful for who you are, because you're my God. And that brings us into an intimacy with God. But listen, an intimate prayer life is beyond just having that closeness in beginning our life in prayer. It also requires that we surrender our will to His will. That we're surrendered. It's hard for us to surrender. It's hard to be surrendered. It requires humility. And we aren't always as humble as we need to be to have a closeness to God. And so we surrender our desires. We surrender what we want to do the things that God is leading us to do, which, by the way, often is different than what our desires are. It's hard to surrender the desire potentially that you would have to sleep in the mornings so that you can have extra time with God. You surrender that desire. It's hard for us to surrender our desire for entertainment so that we can have a closeness with God that entertainment distracts us away from certain kinds of entertainment, you understand? It's hard for us to surrender our desire to leave the life God is, the path God has designed for us, to trace, or rather chase a dream apart from God's will. Surrender. We have desires that we, you know, that we chase in life. And often our desires are very different than God's desires. And often our desires are very difficult to surrender to God's desires for our life. So Jesus confronts the religious crowd. I mean, in the end, the mentality that the system, the religious system of the day would have had. He says in verse number 5, "But when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." And so he's challenging the religions of the day. He's challenging the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers and all of these that would have been in the upper crust of the religious society of the day. He was challenging their religious system, saying it needs to get beyond some vain exercise, some empty prayer of ceremonial, you know, jibber jabber. God wants us to be genuine in our prayers. He wants us to get away from repetition and ramblings and arrogance. He wants us to get away from those things, and in our prayer life that we're having an intimate walk with God and that we're getting a hold of the horns of the altar in fellowship with God, in a closeness with God. And so Christ teaches his disciples about intimacy. And to begin with, he says, "Our Father," well, first of all, he says, "after this manner." And so we need to remember, as we said this morning, he's not saying, "pray these words." So we got to get away from praying, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you know, just being repetitive in those words. He says, "pray like this, pray in this manner." And so our intimate prayer begins with, "Our Father, which art in heaven." That word "Father," if you translate it in the Arabic language, here's what it is. It's Abba. Abba, which means daddy. You can't get more intimate than that. Daddy. God wants us to come to him with a closeness as our Father, our Abba Father. But then he teaches us that he wants and demands and requires surrender. Christ teaches that prayer requires surrender. Verse 10, "Thy kingdom come." You see that? Verse 10, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, his kingdom, watch, his kingdom means not your kingdom. His will means not your will. And so that Jesus teaches this shows us what our tendency is. That we have a tendency to want our will. And we have a tendency to desire our kingdom. But God has different desires than his disciples. And God has different plans than his disciples. And they would need to determine to surrender their desires to God's desire. Their kingdom to God's kingdom. Their will to God's will. It was absolutely necessary to have an intimate closeness to God in prayer. To surrender. What would God's desire be? What was God's plan? Well, look what it says. His kingdom come. His will be done. And so God's desire is for his kingdom. His desire is for his will. That's his desire for you. His kingdom to reign in you. His will to reign in you. That's his desire. To understand Christ, what Christ would have been referring to here when he says kingdom, we're going to look at the first word in the New Testament of kingdom. Now go to Matthew chapter 3 with me. You're in chapter 6, go to 3. Thankful for the testimony of John the Baptist, aren't you? Amen. Pointing away, Brother Dreher and I were just talking about this earlier, that the responsibility of John the Baptist was to, when he pointed his finger and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world," pronounced the coming of the Savior. Praise God. But look at verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, here's was his sermon, repent ye for the, you say it, kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he said, the kingdom of heaven. So when Jesus said, thy kingdom come, when John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what was at hand? Who was it? What was about to happen? Matthew chapter 4. Go one more chapter, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the what? The kingdom. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news of the reign of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it is that Jesus Christ would be the king. He is the king. He is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. And so they had to surrender to Christ as the king. You and I, this afternoon, we have to choose to surrender to his kingdom. He is the king. He is the ruler. He makes the rules, not us. He's our Savior. And so when we pray, we are surrendered. His will be done means his will isn't always done, is it? His will be done means, boy, we'd rather do something else, doesn't it? His will be done means it's time for us to surrender to his will. His kingdom, his will, surrender. We have to decide to trust God. We have to decide that he knows what's best. And that's okay. Why was it so hard? Why is it so hard to surrender? You know? Whenever you look at other people, it's so easy to say, why are you so hard-headed, you know? I mean, when you're looking at other people, it's kind of like what we were saying in relationship to other people's burdens. You're like, man, why are you so hard-headed? Why won't you just surrender? But then when it's our own life, boy, it's hard. It's easy to surrender for other people, but it really is hard to surrender ourselves, you know? And we're inside of it. It's hard for us to see all the circumstances or all the consequences that are coming our way when we're so caught up in our desires, you know. But God says, if you just take what he's saying here in Matthew 6, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's as though God is saying to you in an intimate way, as you remember, I said this morning, I grab the boys and I pull on them, I have them look at me and I say, listen, I love you. Remember? And I said that this morning. It's as though God, you know, we started our time in prayer and God shows up, God inhabits the praises of his people, and God has us by the face, one hand on each side of our face, and he's got our attention. And he's already said, I love you. I mean, the closeness is already there. And now he's saying, Stop doing your will. I know what's best for you. I'm going to take care of you. You can turn yourself over to my kingdom. You can turn your heart over to my will, and it's going to be okay. So here's what he's saying as he has you by your face. He's saying, trust me, please. Would you trust me? You can trust me. You can trust my will. You can trust me as I lead you. They had to trust him. They had to trust him to supply. That's why he says, give us this day our daily bread. Because we can't feed ourselves. We're beggars. We're paupers. We're empty. We can't sustain ourselves. We need him to supply. And so we rely on him. We trust in him to give us what only he can give us. And we turn our will over to his will and we say, God, you give me this day what I need. You supply my needs, both spiritually and physically. Take care of me because I've turned myself over to you. I've surrendered my life to you. Now you take care of me. Praise his name and he'll take care of you. Promises that he will. But I told you that I would tell you why we don't often, or why often it seems we don't get answers to our prayers, and it's because we're not surrendered. And we ask him for things, but we haven't turned our heart over to him. We want Him to do things in our life and give us the desires of our heart, but we haven't relied on Him, trusting in Him to supply and to do His will in our life. You know, it's like as a parent, you know, my kids say, "Hey, Dad, would it be okay if I, you know, ate this whole box of Twinkies?" No. I'm not going to answer that prayer because I know that you'll die or something. And say, "No, I won't. This is going to be great. A whole box of Twinkies." But they don't know what's best for them in that regard, do they? And so they didn't get the desire of their heart. And sometimes, often, I think if we're honest, we'll go to God and ask for things, and it's not God's will. And He's not always going to give us the things that we desire when our hearts aren't surrendered to Him. And we're not trusting Him to supply. So we have to decide. They had to decide to rely on God. It's not natural. So we had to put our trust in what only He can do. The joy that only He can provide. He taught His disciples that an intimate prayer must surrender their desires to God and rely on Him to be the joy of their life. Yep. So I was thinking about this. And I was gonna see if I could get a helper. Who wants to be my helper? Grant, you want to be my helper? Come over here. Okay, why don't you stand over here? So what's going to have to happen in Grant's life, and I believe that it will, that Grant is going to have to come to that point in life where he realizes that what God's will for his life is different than what his will for his life is. Okay, and it's always the case. You're always going to have to be confronted with the denying of yourself. It's always the case. And you're going to have to say, like he will, "Not my will be done." But whose? But his will be done. So that you'll leave your desires. You'll leave your desires behind. Watch. As you leave your desires behind, to pursue God's will for your life, it requires surrender. You have to surrender because you are giving up at times an entirely different life. Not always, but at times, an entirely different life to pursue God's will. He'll have to do that. We'll all have to do that. It's precisely what Jesus did in the garden, remember? Whenever three times he prayed these words, "Father, if it be your will that this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." It's God's will. You can be seated. Thanks, buddy. Surrender. We have to surrender our desire. We have to surrender our dreams. We have to surrender our passions. We have to rely on God to teach us to love the life that he has provided for us. To rely on God to use us in the manner that he desires to use us. And that requires surrender. And as we surrender to God, as I mentioned earlier, our desires for entertainment. As we surrender to God, our desires to pursue godly music. Our desires to receive or have clean thoughts to the glory of God. We would surrender all of the things that distract us from the things of God. And surrender our desires to him, then he will bless our prayer life. He will bless our walk with him. And so what about us? What about you? Is there anything that we haven't surrendered? Is there anything we're hanging on to, you know? And when we go to our knees, it's like it comes to our mind. I need to surrender this to God. And it distracts us. It keeps us from having that intimacy, you know, with God. And it keeps us from getting the answers, the responses from God in prayer that we desire. We have to get away from the religious idea, you know, the sort of go through the motions. Like that you give your tithe and you show up on Sunday. And not that those are bad things. I'm just saying that we've got to get away from the idea that that's enough. We need to surrender. And we can have that closeness in our walk with Him. And He will work in our hearts through prayer. He will answer our prayers. And all of those verses that we read earlier there, where God says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's all predicated on this idea of surrender. Surrender. So our question is, why are we not getting answers to our prayers? Often, we're not surrendered. And that's where we stand this afternoon. It's time to surrender. Time to trust He knows what's best and turn it all over to Him. And then we can say this: Father, I love You. I surrender all my desires to You, and I know You will provide, because I can rely on You to be my joy in life. And we can pray that, and God will bless. He promises that He will. I want you to look at one more verse with me. Go to Matthew 7 and we'll finish with this. Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching His disciples, and one of the things He teaches here is about salvation, okay? Look at verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see that? So not everybody's going to be saved. Verse 22, many will say unto Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out many devils, or rather cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew You, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity. So Jesus speaks of salvation here. But I want you to look at verse 21 again. He says, not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the what? The will of My Father which is in heaven. Here's what Jesus is saying. There is no kind of closeness that you or I can have, not even salvation, until we surrender our will to His will. Surrender. So it's time to surrender. This afternoon, it's time to surrender. And we can be close again. Father, this afternoon, Lord, we're thankful for Your word. And Lord, for the change that You've made in our lives because of Your word, we praise You. We pray that You'll help us, Lord, to respond to this truth, Lord, of having a closeness in our walk with You in prayer. Because our will is surrendered to Your will. And I pray that You'll help us to have faith, Lord, in that concept, please. That truth. And Lord, help us to surrender. It might be that somebody here has some things in their life that needs to be surrendered over, whether it be some entertainment things, whether it be some music things, or whether it be some just wrong thinking about lustful things, Lord, or maybe just commitment. I pray that You'd help us surrender our will to Your will. We'll give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.